If you like talent, you're in the right place. Welcome back to the episode of the Talent Factor Podcast. I'm your co-host, Damian Parson, with my boy, my brother, my co-host, Keith Sanchez. Keith, what's going on, baby?
Mic check. My mic is hot, so it's time to talk some football, DP. Man, I woke up this morning, right? And I looked at my calendar. It said August 11th. It was Thursday. And I scrolled down, looked down a couple weeks, and I realized we are exactly 3 weeks away from kickoff on September 1st. So it's time to rock and roll. Let's go. Let's get it. And then the second thing, right? I knew what we were talking. What we was talking? SEC football. So that might be why I'm having a good day today. You know, I'm an SEC guy. I love the SEC. So
Who knew, Keith?
So let's go through this, man. Let's break down CBS. They put out their predictions for the SEC winners, SEC rankings, the SEC West versus the SEC East. So, man, let's do this. Let's start with the SEC East. And go through and talk about how they have them ranked, and we'll give our own predictions of how we feel that they will come out per division in the SEC.
I mean, let's do that. It sounds like a great idea. But before we start, let's give a shout out to our partners over at BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with the first to market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. You know, I love that segue into what we're going to talk about, Keith, every week. So you talk about CBS's rankings for the SEC East, Keith, and they got it listed. You got to rank one, run through seven, and I'll go ahead and run through the from the top to the bottom. And number one, there's no surprise, Georgia, right? Georgia came at number one. You had Kentucky at number two. Number three was Tennessee. Number four was Florida. Number five, South Carolina. Number six was Missouri. And number seven was Vanderbilt. Keith, what was the first thing when you looked at this list? Because you actually sent it to me. What was the first thing that kind of stood out to you?
Kentucky at two. I thought that was rather interesting. And so I'm going to go Kentucky at two, right, with Will Levis. Tennessee at three with, believe their quarterback is Hendon Hooker, right? And yep. Then you have Florida at four with Anthony Richardson. I think this is simply this, right? We're looking at this. This is simply the CBS voters saying, which quarterback do we think can carry the football team the most? This has to be what it is, right? Because looking at Florida's roster, we went through the evaluations, the team evaluations. Florida has the more talented team. You know, if you compare them to Kentucky and Tennessee. So this has to be, they think that Will Levis is going to take, you know, just gigantic leaps forward as far as being one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC. He's going to be able to put the Kentucky football team on his back and then carry them to the number two seed. So I thought that was rather interesting. And that was the only way I can kind of decipher through it. Then I'll go and make another point, right? Like even with Spencer Rattler at South Carolina, I thought that was very interesting because we know that South Carolina has some pieces, right? They got transfers, Austin Stogner in there. They have, you know, Jaheim Bell at tight end. They usually have a good bevy of running backs. So seeing him at number five was also another interesting. Missouri at six, we expected, and Vanderbilt. On here they have a vote. That's alumni, right? That's the only people that would vote for Vanderbilt to win the SEC East has to be alumni. So, man, give me a couple of your takeaways.
Man, you know, for me, it was kind of similar to you. Like Kentucky, it was Kentucky at two, and you know, like you said, the Will Levis thing, and they've done a great job just rebuilding that program, Keith, through the transfer portal. You know, with Wandale Robinson, they had last year coming in. They have Tavion Robinson replacing him, grabbing Tashawn Ward, the right guard from Auburn, and you know they're bringing in some more speed at the receiver position for Will Levis. But Tennessee, in front of Florida, is just. it was just kind of crazy to me, man. Like, you know, I can I understand the you, love for you, Will
you
Levis.
Disagree or agree with it? Like,
I totally disagree. I totally agree. 100%. I'm just looking at it. And I'm just like, man, like you talked about, Florida is such a talented team, man, and they got a lot of veteran leadership too, especially defensively. Got a lot of redshirt seniors, redshirt juniors, and some key spots in the secondary. Got our guy Gervon Dexter Senior at the defensive tackle spot. Brenton Cox Jr. coming off the edge at the Jack Ventrell. They got some guys on defense. Plus, they have Anthony Richardson, the redshirt sophomore, who has all the talent in the world. They got a good offensive line that's also like studded when it comes down to veteran leadership. You know, keep an eye on Justin Shorter, the redshirt senior transfer. Number four is going to be the X receiver. So it's like they have talent from top to bottom. Both sides of the ball. And it's not saying that Tennessee doesn't, but it's not to the same extent, right? I like Hendon Hooker. He is a 24, 25-year-old. He's an older graduate player, Keith. But, you know, he's peaked, right? He's maxed out. And I do like his star receiver, Cedric Tillman, coming into this draft as a redshirt senior. But, man, when I looked at, you know, the defense, I'm just like, man, you know, there's some solid pieces there. But just to see them above Florida, it's like, man, I couldn't do it personally. I couldn't put Florida at four. I'm sorry. Like, I feel like Kentucky and Florida, like, have to battle for that number two spot. And honestly, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'm going to go to Georgia as well. And I know we've talked about it. I know that Georgia, they're the reigning national champions, right? But Keith, you lose N'Kobe Dean, Quade Walker, Chandon Tindall, Jordan Davis, Devontae Wyatt, Darian Kendrick, Lewis Sign, right? You lose all of that, right? Then you lose Zeus in the backfield, James Cook in the backfield, right?
So offensive you lose linemen. They've lost offensive line. Linemen.
And you still got Stetson Bennett as your quarterback. At the end of the day, you still got Stetson Bennett as your quarterback.
Stetson Bennett is coming back, right?
Stetson Bennett is still, he's a 25-year-old senior. He's like 5'9 with 9-inch hands, man. Like, in 29-inch arms. I'm just not there, you know? So it's like, it's I get it, but it's like they're replacing a lot of defensive talent that we don't know how this is going to shake out, right? Because offensively, they didn't have to score a lot of points last year. I believe a team like a Kentucky and a team like Florida is going to be able to put some pressure, right? You know, I tweeted out yesterday, I don't feel pressure, I apply it. I think they're going to apply the pressure to Georgia's offense and tell Stetson Bennett, like, hey, you're going to have to score with us this season. You're not going to ride the coattails of that dominant elite defense, one of the best defenses that we've ever seen in college history, truly. So I think that was kind of the takeaways. I had Tennessee over Florida. And then, you know, I know that Georgia got 172 of the votes to put them solely at the top of their division. It's not close at all, Keith. And I just feel like it's worth a discussion. That's the way I look at it, man.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I'm going to go as far as this. Is ranked Georgia, Kentucky, Tennessee, Florida. That's how they have it ranked. I think Florida's the number two team in the SEC East, and I don't think it's close. We've watched the rosters. Like I said, Will Levis is a good quarterback, but we're saying he's going to put it on his back. Like, he's going to have a Cam Newton-ish type year, right? And he's going to have to carry that entire Kentucky football team, man. And I'll go as far as to say this. I think Florida, when they have the annual Florida-Georgia game in Jacksonville, Florida, I think that Florida is going to give Georgia issues. Anthony Richardson has all the tools to be that dude. He's going to be wearing number 15. He's going to be slinging a rock. You know, he's going to remind people of Tim Tebow. So, man, I'm all in on an Anthony Richardson hype train. I'm in on the Florida coaching staff. I'm in on the players. They have a bevy of running backs. They're going to flat out give him a challenge. What Florida has to do is win the rest of their games. And then this is the thing with rivalries. If it's close talent-wise on the field, that's a toss-up game, right? Just to be a little bit better than your rival does you nothing in rivalry games. You have to be substantially better because players show up, they show out. This is part of their, you know, like Super Bowl / bragging rights. It matters to them, right? So you're not getting the same team for a rivalry game. You're getting a much elevated, motivated team. So I think Florida's definitely going to show up. So you look at me, and I have to predict the East, right? I am going to reluctantly say Georgia, and I hope that I don't regret it because Georgia's lack of offensive firepower scares me. They lost George Pickens also with somebody we talked about. Jermaine Burton won a national championship. He said, y'all bring a Stetson Bennett back. Well, I'm going to play with Bryce Young. That's what he said. That was exactly his statement, right? He said, okay, cool. Stetson Bennett is my quarterback. Watch this.
I'm out of here.
Yeah, I'm out of here. So, man, you're going to have new wide receivers. I don't know how it gets much easier than what it was for Stetson Bennett last year. I think now Moore is going to be on his plate. They have tight ends. They have Eric Gilbert, Darnell Washington, Brock Bowers, obviously. But that's tight ends, man. When these offenses put up 30 points on you, because I think they will, this won't be the same defense, you're going to have to put up 30 points to win, too. And I just don't foresee that happening. So I'm going to say Georgia, but next year I might be saying something different. Look out for them Gators, though. Look out for them Gators in the swamp.
You're right. And you know, what's their saying? Chomp, chomp. You know what I mean? In reality, you know, a Gator is going to eat a Bulldog. We know that, right? Like a Gator would demolish a Bulldog. And for this season, I'm picking the Gators to beat the Bulldogs. I feel like Gators. Yeah, no, I'm going there, Keith, because I'm all in on the Anthony Richardson train, right? I'm all in on the new coaching staff. We recall this past draft season, we're in Vegas, we're getting ready for the draft, and everybody's wondering, why didn't Dameon Pierce have enough carries? It was the coaching staff. That's why he had enough carries. You know what I'm saying? The coaching staff was not really competent and really working the way that they should have. Now they have a better coaching staff, you know, in-house. There's no And I know about the behind-the-scenes stuff of what happened with the quarterback situation with Emory Jones, and now he's transferred, opening the door for my guy, AR, Anthony Richardson, to take that next step to be the full-time starter. He's got weapons in the receiving game. He's got an offensive line that can protect him. He's a weapon himself, and I think he himself is going to pose a really big threat offensively to Georgia's kind of retooled defense, per se. And not only that, I think that his weapons are going to give them a problem too. And I think if the defense can't hold him down, Stetson Bennett isn't going to be able to lift him up. So for me, I think I'm picking Florida to come out of the East. They were my dark horse all offseason. You know, no disrespect to Will Levis, them, man. But I think Florida's a better team, and I'm picking – I call him Weapon X, baby. Anthony Richardson is Weapon X, and I think he's going to have a Cam Newton-esque season where he may be in that Heisman talk. And how does he catapult himself there? Knock off Georgia. Knock off them Bulldogs. Chomp, chomp all up the sideline and let them know that you're here. So I'm picking Florida to be in the SEC championship game out of the East.
Dameon Parsons right there, ladies and gentlemen, with the bold take right there. But listen, when you put the work in and you watch the film and you evaluate the players, it allows you to make those type of takes, my brother. So, amen. Look, take that, go with it, roll with it. We disagree, right? We disagree, but I'm feeling where you're coming from with that. So let's do this. We put in our SEC East predictions. Let's go to the West, man. The West, now the West is messy, right? The West is really messy. You have Alabama, you have Nick Saban, right? You have him and Jimbo Fisher. They going back and forth over NIL stuff. You know, you have Lane Kiffin, who loves to insert himself into conversations. Then you have LSU, right, with Brian Kelly. He wants to hit the gritty, right? Like he's trying to show people that he's he's down for the cause. So, man, the SEC West is very interesting. You know, when you look at the I'll say characters, right? Let's go with characters. When you look at the many characters, but for the sake of this list, on this list we have Alabama at number one, Texas A&M coming at number two, Arkansas coming in at number three, Ole Miss at number four, LSU at number five, Mississippi State at number six, and Auburn at number seven. DP, I read them off. You let me know what were some of the things that immediately stuck out to you.
Well, if anybody has listened to the episode last week when we went through the ESPN's Football Power Index Top 25, And your ugly of the list was LSU being in the top 10, right? And they have LSU, and we talked about that. They had LSU above Auburn, I think above Texas A&M or Ole Miss and stuff like
that. Yeah, they had them above Texas A&M, Ole Miss, and Arkansas. I think they were the number two or three team. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really odd how they had that structured. And this is odd to me, too, because – like we talked about the deficiency is LSU. It's a lot of uncertainty. You don't know what you're going to have at quarterback. It's a lot of transfers coming in the secondary, just trying to rebuild and retool this team and this program, Keith. And those are the reasons why I would have actually had them at 7. I would have had them at the bottom. Wow.
So you would drop them even lower. So,
yes. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. How our guy Ray G says, he says, put it on wax, right? So what you're telling me is that LSU will finish last in the SEC West this year.
That's how I look at this right now, Keith. Yes, that's how I look at it right now. Until you know, they got to show me. They're gonna have to show me some things, right? I love our boy Kayshawn Boutte, but there's some uncertainty. There's a lot of things that's going on with the program, and like I said, new faces in this new place for them. And it's like, listen, you got 7 banks coming. Though you got some guys coming from the Big 12, from the Big 10, and it's like, hey, man. You're about to see some SEC talent at receivers, and it's going to be a little bit of a different situation. And Jaden Daniels coming over from Arizona State.
Arizona State.
But listen, man, you small, bro. Like it's a small frame that you got. I'm not going to be honest with you. You got some long arms, but you a skinny guy. And the SEC, this is a tough physical conference, man. So, and he likes to run too. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, Keith. But for me, I look at Auburn, man. And I know Brian Harsin, the coach, you know, a lot of talk about him being on the hot seat. And if there's anybody that needs to not finish last, it's Brian Harsin.
He may not finish the season if this goes the way that they have predicted, because that means that Auburn is losing early and often.
Early and often, and their winning record is not good. And they have a pretty talented team, man. A lot of defensive prospects that the NFL is high on right now. They got a really talented running back over in the backfield with Tank Bigsby. What they got to stop doing is rotating their offensive linemen throughout the games, because that makes no sense to me. Like, it's really frustrating that you keep doing that, and that could cause you to lose games. But I do want to give a shout out to Mississippi State. You know that Mike Leach and his air raid offense, he's got a quarterback that's going to play that. You know, I listened to the part with you and Ray G, and you talked about Chris Paul with Bryce Young, and Will Rogers is more of that kind of Steve Nash's, right? Like he's a point guard. You know, he's not going to give you a ton in terms of the run game, but he knows how to distribute the ball and distribute it accurately, Keith. And he's had full control of his offense, and he's going to run it well. Defensively, they run that 3-3-5 stack, so we'll see how that that doesn't typically work well in the SEC when you keep running the football. But I would say the last thing for me is Arkansas at 3. And I know this might catch some people by surprise, but Arkansas is a talented team, Keith. And they got a quarterback that's really underrated in KJ Jefferson, right?
Yeah.
Big, thick build, strong frame, and a big arm. And he's really mobile, Keith. Like, he can sling that thing. And it's like, I wish that they didn't use Treylon Burks as such the gadget piece, so we could have seen a full display of KJ Jefferson's arm consistently game to game. You know, all the manufactured, you know, stat padding throws with the bubble screens and all that gadgety stuff. I wish they did a little bit more of the traditional stuff with their offense, but I'm not mad at them being where they are on this list, to be completely honest with you. I'm not mad at all, Keith.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Arkansas. They're going to be a tough out. Texas played them last year. I think Texas went to Arkansas, and they thought that they were going to, you know, they thought they were going to beat Texas, right, just because we're Texas and you're Arkansas. And Arkansas punched them in the mouth the entire game. They kept hitting them, and Texas tapped out of that game. Looking at the list, for me, I have to say Ole Miss. I would move Ole Miss up from the number 4 spot. Like I told you, man, I bet on the Lane train, man. Like, listen, Lane Kiffin, he has his off the field issues, right? He's a personality, he's a character, but the man dials it up on the offensive side of the ball. When can't you count on Lane Kiffin to put up 40 points, right?
So clipboard toss.
Clipboard toss. What head coach slash offensive coordinator tosses the playbook up in the air before the
mid-play.
Quarterback? Before the quarterback even throws the ball, he knows his money, right? And listen, if you're that confident, I'm buying in on you, man. They got two transfer running backs in there. So like I said, man, I think this offense is going to be explosive, but it's going to be even more balanced, which is going to keep defenses off guard. I'm expecting one of those quarterbacks, they'll play well. Listen, Matt Corral went in the fourth, fifth round last year. So that kind of lets you know it's the scheme, right? It's a scheme type situation. So man, I'm betting on Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss. I think they move up. I think they move above Arkansas. They move from number four to number three. And then you got Texas A&M at number two, right? And this is what we need to get into the conversation, because this is the nitty gritty. Mm-hmm. This is the conversation piece. This is this is the mess, how I called it early. And the question is, can A&M run the gauntlet of the SEC while also knocking off Alabama, right? Because that's what it's going to take. Alabama, they may be the most talented team from top to bottom as far as roster wise. So they're not going to lose to lesser opponents. So A&M is going to have to run that same gauntlet, and then they're going to have to beat Alabama, I believe, at Alabama. And I don't know if they're going to do it. Listen, they caught Alabama off guard last year. They beat them at home. It was a thriller with the kicker. I'd never seen a ball curve like that. That wasn't a 12-6 chain curveball. I don't know what that was. I never seen a ball go like that, a football. I never seen a football kicked, go directly left, and then cut immediately right. I've never seen that a day in my life. But they won, right? They won a game, but I think Alabama comes in there pissed off. It's their home stadium. Listen, they lost the national championship last year, so I think that they will win the SEC West and reign supreme. But as far as that, like I said, I'll move Ole Miss up. But as far as the rest of the list, I feel good about it. I think 5 through 7 can go either way. LSU, Mississippi State, they'll probably be battling for the bottom of the division. Auburn, you mentioned Auburn, right? They'll be an interesting piece because Auburn always plays tough-nosed, gritty football. And I think it's just a matter of they can get that thing solved offensively and they can be a true threat. So that's the SEC East. That's the SEC West. Now we got to turn our attention to the conference championship, right? Like you set the table and said that you believe Florida is coming out of the SEC East. SEC West, you believe is going to be Alabama, right? So Correct. Walk me through that narrative, that conversation of who's going to be the SEC championship in your eyes.
Man, Bama has, Nick Saban has.
I got to stop you first. I got to put another thought in your head. Listen, you compare Anthony Richardson to Cam Newton, and look, Cam beat Bama, so I need to know where you're at with this. So I'm gonna let you go ahead. I just had to throw that out there.
Let's talk, man. 6'4", 6'5", 240, 4'5", in the 40. Anthony Richardson has the elite arm. He has all of that stuff, right? And we know that Nick Saban's defenses have historically struggled against mobile quarterbacks. Cam, Johnny Manziel, like all these, all the mobile quarterbacks that have come through. Now, dual threat guys, right? Not the Tim Tebow's like that, where it's like, the only thing I'm going to do is run. But guys that can actually run and throw have always given Nick Saban issues. I don't think that stops here. I think Anthony Richardson gives them issues too. Now, with that being said.
I'm trying to see where you're going with this.
With that being said, there's one man that can ruin all of this for Anthony Richardson. And his name is not Nick Saban. It's Will Anderson. That's the problem. Like, trying to block Will Anderson and the way that Bama uses him in the twists and stunts and games and his relentless motor, his hand power, his explosiveness, all these things are difficult. And you got Eli Ricks in the secondary. You got DeMarco Helms. You have Jordan Battle. You got Henry To'o at linebacker. Dallas Turner's on the opposite end of Will Anderson. I got to go Bama because I think the defense will eventually be able to cause enough havoc in the backfield to where Anthony Richardson will have to make more plays with his legs, and he's going to have to make enough plays with his arm. I don't know if he's going to have enough time to do so with the front four that they have and those two edge rushers. Bryce Young, you called him CP3. You know, he's got the Heisman. Now he has a national championship that he didn't win himself, but he was a part of the team. He's got to do what CP3 hasn't been able to do. That's close it out. In the big game, and the toughness, the accuracy, the ball placement, the intelligence. He has all those things, all those intangibles, Keith, the things that you're not going to find when you measure him, right? You're not going to find those things when you look at the spreadsheet, you look at his height and his weight and all that. You're not going to find those things that makes him such a great quarterback. So I'm going to give it to Bama. I think Bama finds that way with that defense and that pass rush to get to AR and cause havoc. I hate it because I really wanted to go Florida in this situation. But I lie to you not, man. Will Anderson is the scariest dude in college football. So I can't vote against him, dog. So I got to go with Bama. I think it'll be close, but I'm going to go Bama.
Hey, man, I'll say this. I appreciate the way you set that up. You know, you had me on the edge of my chair, right? I thought there was a chance you might go with Florida. And I was going to tell Chris, make sure he clipped that. I was going to tell Rob, that is the quote of the college football season. Stamp it, book it. My guy, DP, he went with Florida to win the SEC. But now you went with Bama. I think that was a smart decision. I would say this about Alabama. Coming off of last year's loss to Kirby Smart, paying attention to how Nick Saban and the rest of this team has been moving throughout the media. Everything is calculated. Everything is strategic. Everything is with intent. Everything is purposeful. So I believe that Alabama is going to win the SEC championship, and that's just going to be a stepping stone on their way to a national championship in their eyes. So I expect them to win. I think Georgia took a step back. I had Georgia coming out of the SEC East. I think Georgia took a step back. So you know what it's going to look like? It's going to look like last year's SEC championship. Georgia will be able to play in the first and second quarter, but third, fourth quarter, Alabama's going to put up bombs. And they're going to put up some points. So I have Alabama winning the SEC championship. I think they'll take it. I think they'll own it. They're on their way back to the national championship. So, that was a damn good conversation, right? The Florida, inserting Florida, I think we've stamped it. Florida's going to be a real contender this year. I'm all in on the Billy Napier hype train. It'll be interesting to see if Georgia and Kirby Smart decide to stay with Stetson Bennett, or do they turn to one of those young guys who just has more arm talent, because that can kind of change the conversation a little bit about Georgia. Texas A&M, I still think Texas A&M, they're just a piece or two away. I fully believe.
Quarterback.
Yeah, they're a quarterback away, and then getting some veteran receivers in there that have been in big time moments. Then I think they'll be able to compete for SEC West titles and SEC championships, man. So, man, that was a damn good conversation. I enjoyed it. DP, holla at him, baby.
Listen, man, I'm gonna let you guys know right now, you to finish that A&M thought, keep your eye on that ex receiver, Evan Stewart. He is a true freshman, five-star stud. We don't just watch, you know, college prospects here at the Talent Factor and TDN. We keep an eye on the high school recruits, yeah, as well, man. So keep your eye on that young man, because he's definitely really, really talented and someone that they will probably lean on in the passing game. But as always, guys, we love to have fun here at the Talent Factor. Make sure you follow us and subscribe, share, like, leave a five-star review on Apple Podcasts, especially on Spotify and your other major podcasting networks. Again, football season is here. Got preseason football tonight, and for the next couple weeks heading into the season, college football will be here in a couple weeks. So holler at Bet Online. Go make yourself some money. And as always, this is the Talent Factor Podcast. I'm your co-host, Damian Parson, with my guy, Keith Sanchez. And Keith, what's the slogan, baby?
Hey, remember, talent is always the factor.